Hello out there, Rebel fans. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green and Rob Python Mish.
May old acquaintance be forgotten. That's all I'm going to say.
You can't sing Auld Lang Syne that well.
Huh? I can't if I had a great voice or a normal voice, but being under the weather, as both of us are to some degree, and after the plane ride yesterday, boy, descending with a cold is not recommended by any Surgeon General.
So that noise in Freedom Hall today, which was kind of come and go, that was not the best thing for you, huh?
Oh, it was much better than Reno, though, because at least we're sitting in front of the student band. Yeah, I know. this was not my first rodeo at Freedom Hall, so I knew what we were getting into. But you know, the odd thing was it was eerily quiet at the start. You know,
it was eerily quiet for about 10 minutes.
I know that maybe isn't the best intro to this podcast, but we've segued there, and I'll tell you what, it was unbelievable how quiet that arena was at the start of a game.
And you know, that's the thing. I pointed out in that Louisville Cider, you know, the players in the Louisville locker room were talking about how, well, first we ought to mention that UNLV beat them 56-55.
Oh, yeah, minor detail.
Over the number 18 Cardinals, who dropped to 8-3. UNLV improves to 12-2, and now in the last couple weeks with wins over Arizona and Louisville on the road, you would have to think that probably erases much of the memory of those back-to-back losses to Cal and Cincinnati. And this was a big win for UNLV to close the non-conference season on, and it could come up very big someday down the road in, say, March when the seedings are coming out for the NCAA tournament.
When that nine-person committee gets together, but let's not...
That's way down the road.
And let's not overlook the fact that Oscar Belfield hit that big shot at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. That's why we're all talking, why Rebel fans are happy right now.
And, you know, talking about what the Louisville players were saying, you know, they said that Jerry Smith, their junior starting two guard, was saying... you know, we haven't played a half that sluggish in the entire 3 years I've been here. And, you know, there really wasn't much energy to feed off of from the crowd. But then again, Louisville really did not hold up its end of the bargain in those first 10 or 12 minutes. They started 0 of 11 from the floor. Their first actual field goal to drop through the net didn't come until there was 7.5 minutes left in the first half. By that point, they were already up against it. UNLV opens the game on a 10-0 run. They led by as many as 15 in the game's first 20 minutes, and you know really gave themselves enough padding to stave off the runs that you knew Louisville would put together in that second half.
Boy, by the time they hit that first legitimate field goal, too, UNLV was up 22-7. Mm-hmm. Preston Knowles hit the three. And sort of gave them a little bit of life when they were all but dead. But you said it with McGee, and you know, so Preston Knowles also talked about just from the get-go, UNLV just plastered him with that stifling defense.
Yep.
And as much as they could have prepared for it, as much as the film showed what UNLV was going to do, they weren't used to it.
It's hard to prepare for that defense, and you know, Chase Budinger even talked about it a couple weeks ago when UNLV beat Arizona by 15. You know, as much as you know what, even if you know what's coming, it's hard because, you know, McGee pointed out, he said it's weird. He hasn't played against a team where, you know, it seems like the four guys who aren't guarding the ball just don't even really care where the ball is.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is deny any, I guess, open spaces around their man and just completely stifle all five guys at once. And I'll tell you, when it's executed like it was today, you get what you get. And that's Louisville going 16-54 from the floor and just never finding any flow offensively.
You know, and when you have two centers like Darius Santee and Bryce Masamba who are not into it, they were very ineffective. They are both on the bench. You have Joe Darger come in, all 6'7" of them. It just discombobulates yourself, your offense, and what you want to do that much more when you have a guy like that on your center, and yet he's being so active, he's got a hand in the face, and you still can't do what you want to do. So, you know, the intangible quality of that is if we had time and the energy after the game to actually ask Louisville, what exactly does that expend from you? How much energy does that, and frustration does that, how much does that add to taking you out of your scheme?
And I'll tell you what really expended energy from them, something they talked about, was how much harder they had to work in that second half than you do in the second halves of most games when you're as talented as they are. You know, they said that it was 10 times harder in that second half when, you know, you're basically trying to start over at 0-0, but you're trying to start over 0-0, but you're down. You're in reality, you're down 11 with 20 fewer minutes to work with, and You know, look at their leading scores. You know, their leading score on the season, Samardo Samuels, scored 10 points, was only 2 of 6 from the floor. He shoots usually just under 60%. Earl Clark, 4 of 11 from the floor, scores 10 points. He usually shoots in the 40s.
Yep.
And then Terrence Williams, maybe the biggest offender of them all, 2 of 15 from the floor, usually shoots at came into the game shooting 40% from the floor. Like, again, only 2 of 15, and I watched the game on Saturday that they won against UAB at home, and you know he was hitting threes from all over the place. He was shaking free. He had all these open looks. I didn't see one of them.
Wow.
I saw maybe two, and those were his. Those were two of his 3 3-point attempts that he hoisted up.
Incredible, incredible. Louisville wound up with 16 field goals, and that's a low for the season for a UNLV foe. In fact, you got to go back 33 games to find. A Rebels opponent that has made so few field goals, and that was BYU last year at the MAC. They had 15 in a 70-41 pasting. So, UNLV's defense was good. It was very good coming into this one. Well, we just saw a peak, and we've been talking about how the whole first half or first part of this season was leading up to this New Year's Eve game.
Yep.
Is one final exam that they aced, defense, and it was there when they needed it without their leader.
Yep. And, Wink Adams did not play, and, UNLV in lieu of that did a lot of things well. And before we talk about those things that they did so well, let's hear what some of the Rebels had to say after the game. Here's Coach Lon Kruger, Rene Rougeau, Trevon Willis, Oscar Belfield offering some insight on in hindsight on today's victory. Guys, take it away.
I thought Trevon stepped in and did a good job. I thought Kendall Wallace came in and did a good job. Deshaun Mitchell gave us some good minutes in the first half. I thought a lot of guys stepped in and played pretty well. I thought Oscar and Trey, I know Oscar had 6 turnovers, but I thought he battled their pressure well all night, and I thought he really grew up a lot tonight. Never hurts. Pick a stage like that. It's a good time to battle anyhow, and I thought our guys did that. They fought, which they're going to do every time out, but to fight and to win in a tough environment like this, pretty good feeling for them. Guys take a lot of pride in that. I thought all night we had a pretty good rhythm with what Louisville was doing. They're very talented and they're very long, and we had a little trouble, like I say, on the boards. But overall, made pretty good focus defensively and pretty good awareness. Just couldn't always get the rebound back. Rene was great. Rene's been great every time out. He's going to play with the same enthusiasm, same passion, regardless, every day in practice, every game. He will do that. No question about that. I thought Rene in the middle attacking their zone in the first half made a lot of good plays out of there, and he's got a good knack for how to get open in there.
I'm just speechless right now. I can't wait to watch SportsCenter tonight. So we definitely had a good time. Everyone played their hearts out tonight, and I can't even talk about Trey and Oscar enough. Those guys just really played their hearts out tonight too. Oh, once he hit the basket, saw 14 seconds, so we knew they were probably going to take it down the wire. And more than anything, we were just talking about rebounding, trying not to foul him and switching the ball screens. And everyone did a good job. Darius did a good job of just playing with his hands back so they didn't get a foul. And we were just lucky enough to come out with a win tonight. Oh, that's big. This win was definitely for Wink, without a doubt. We wish he could have been there to play with us. He wanted to be out there very bad, and everyone just really played hard. I kind of had a feeling they were going to take us for granted, seeing that Wink wasn't going to be playing, and we definitely used that to our advantage tonight.
Every game is personal for me, especially big games like this. Without our best player on the road against a ranked opponent, one of the toughest teams in the country, I thought I had a lot to prove. I wanted to step in that role and be aggressive and just be a playmaker and make plays for this club so we can get a win. Every game since the Arizona game, I'm just being aggressive, being a playmaker. So, that's what I got to do for this team. And, I made some plays down the stretch in the second half. First half I was in foul trouble, but I just wanted to come out and be aggressive, and that's what I did.
Really, just my main focus was to take him. It was a mismatch, but he played real good defense. For a big guy, he did real good. And, had to just get the shot over him. He's so big, but I used a little his body to get over him a little bit.
All right, well, there you have it. There was plenty to smile about around the, in and outside of the Rebels locker room. Everybody in a good mood. They did just about everything the way it needed to be done to beat this team defensively. They fed off of it offensively. A lot of guys stepped up in place of Wink Adams, who warmed up. But, you could kind of tell during warm-ups, usually Wink Adams has a good sweat going by the time he goes back up to the locker room before they run out for a final time. And, You know, he usually goes harder than just about anybody, gets a lot of lift on his jumper, just like he does in games during warm-ups. But today during warm-ups, you know, he's in uniform, but he was kind of gingerly moving around.
Well, remember, he started warm-ups today wearing his sweat bottoms and his sweat tops.
Never does that.
That's not usual. And, in fact, he started off in the warm-ups rebounding for his teammates. Mm-hmm. So that was the first sign of, you know what, probably not going to be a go for the lad. You know, for the first time in 116 games, he doesn't play. So not that much of a surprise. You know, we had enough stories 2 days ago that saying that, you know what, it's probably going to be a long shot. You know, didn't make sense. Why risk him, you know, maybe tweaking and exacerbating that injury? And he said it himself. Why play a game and miss two conference games when you can sit out a game and be ready for conference? And it was the smart decision. And as much as they wanted to be coy or cute about it, he's day-to-day, he's questionable, and we got this and that and the other from Dave Tomcheck, the fact is they weren't going to test him and they weren't going to risk it.
And, you know, that even played into their favor a little bit. If you ask Rene Rougeau, who said, you know, we could sense that they were maybe taking us for granted, were his words when Wink didn't play, and they used that to their advantage. They certainly did, and Rene was one of the guys who certainly did that. We'll talk about him in a little bit, yep. but the guy who started in Wink's place, Trevon Willis, you know, he had some foul trouble early, had two fouls in the first, I don't know how many it was, maybe 7 or 8 minutes.
Right.
He sat for a while, came back for about 2 minutes towards the end of the first half. You know, he hit the game's first three-pointer to open the scoring. But in the second half is when he really turned it on in the sense of, you know, there was about a 12-minute stretch where the Rebels had only one field goal.
Right.
And
rough.
You know, in that stretch, he was 6-6 from the free throw line. He hit a three late when they were down by two to put him back up by one at 51-50.
Reclaim the lead, yep.
He had all the attitude and everything that that he needed to have today.
He did. He looked really good. And you know what? Enough can't be said, which Kruger pointed out after the game, about the medal that Oscar Belfield showed. Because, you know, it's a real luxury having Trayvon and Oscar in there at the same time. You got a two-headed monster.
Yeah.
Both of them can run the floor, the two generals at the same time. Well, with Trey in foul trouble, you got Oscar, you know, there's a lot more demanded of him.
Yeah.
You don't have Wink on the court who can also spell him a little by handling the ball. We all know he's good at relieving everybody else with his drives and taking the burden on himself. But Oscar, he played a career high of 36 minutes today, and he really showed his poise. We saw a flash of what was going to come later in the game when, during that 12-minute lull where they only got one basket, well, the one basket was by Bryce Masamba
in the low left
post. Oscar drove right in front of us. It was a beautiful play to watch because he flashed in front of us down through the right lane. As far as I saw and as far as you saw, which wasn't much more than Oscar saw, I didn't see anything to his left. And he flashed a blind pass to Bryce that was absolutely exquisite.
Yep. And it was a very, you know, he went right down the heart of the lane, you know, down the heart of the defense, but he did it slowly and patiently, protected the ball, just seemed confident the whole way, and flipped that pass just out of nowhere. He kind of almost lulled the defense to sleep with that.
Which was exactly where he made his game-winning shot.
Yep. And
so,
and you know, he had six turnovers, but, you know, Kruger pointed out he handled the pressure very well.
Yes.
And how many turnovers do you remember him having against when Louisville was having that full court press? You know, they were able to break it pretty much every time, not force turnovers in the backcourt to the point where Louisville got fast break points. Louisville had zero fast break points in this game. Zero.
That goes right to the heart of the defense.
For a team that is that athletic and opportunistic, zero fast break points.
And that crashes the boards the way they do.
Yeah
that was telltale right there. Number one of the great job defensively they did. You know, they UNLV can thank Arizona too for pressing them. It's funny how it all helped out into this game. You know, their past few games, how playing John Bryant against Santa Clara helped him for the big man Jordan Hill against Arizona, how playing the press against Arizona helped him in this game. It all kind of, you know, feeds into itself, and it shows that they're learning.
Yep, very much so. And, you know, while Belfield had a coming-of-age game, you know, Trevon Willis, in a sense, has now had a couple coming-of-age games against Arizona and Louisville, a guy who just kept doing what he's been doing and prove that he can do it on just about any stage is Rene Rougeau. Game high 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks in 37 minutes, and you know, it seems like every game we're talking about this guy and his stat lines and how well-rounded it is. God, and he's proven he can do it against anybody, and they needed that little extra from him today in terms of a leadership role with Wink out of the game. Yeah,
he's the glue, the mortar, and today, you know, I hate the phrase step up. Yeah. Can't stand any form of it, but that's what that guy did today. Yep. He is really impressive. Over his last 7 games, he's shooting 67%. He's averaging almost 15 points, and man, he is right there when they need him. We saw him just play so smartly against that 2-3 zone in stretches tonight, playing in the middle, busting it down, breaking it down, hitting his mid-range jumpers, flashing it out, getting it back on top.
8 of 9 from the floor, yeah.
Smart, just a smart player. So many coaches wish they had one of those.
And he had a lot of plays that, he had a lot of plays that were also pretty memorable. You know, he had that one-on-one where I was almost thinking of that famous Barry Sanders highlight where they show him going on a long touchdown run against the Patriots and it zoomed in on him and he changes direction about 3 times in an 8-yard span and the defensive back's back is to him and his head just keeps spinning.
It's almost slow-mo.
Rougeau was doing that to I can't remember who was defending him, but you know, he was weaving in and out against the defender and wound up getting a nice looking layup out of it. And then also, you know, keeping Louisville scoreless on the fast break, he had that big block on Terrence Williams from behind that the crowd wanted a goaltend. It was not a goaltend on the replay, and boy, he just I think the crowd was a little stunned because I don't think very many people can do that to Terrence Williams.
Right, exactly. You know, he had a fast break dunk. Also, he's really showing just a savvy mixture of power and finesse, and you know, we're looking at probably the team's MVP so far.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
And you know, there were also for UNLV a few unsung heroes. I guess we could talk about tonight. And one that comes to mind, I thought was Joe Darger. You know, he only got 3 3-point attempts off, hit 1. Those were his only points of the game. Only 2 rebounds, 1 assist. You know, he was quiet.
You can look at that stat line and just think, what a mundane performance.
But you know what? He D'd up on Samardo Samuels late in that first half, especially admirably. And you know, he was more effective than just about anybody on Samuels on the defensive end, and just played a very solid game on that end of the floor.
Well, that's a great point. You know, sometimes you can look at a stat line and a box score, and there's so much deeper that goes on. Mm-hmm. And you look at Samuels; he was 2 for 6. He only had 6 attempts.
Yeah.
He was frustrated. Darger is a veteran down the low post now.
You know,
we should start calling him a center.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Because he's playing more and more of it gradually.
Well, and you know what? This isn't the first time we've said this either. They're almost better with that small lineup with him at the 5. We didn't see anything out of Santee and Masamba, although Masamba had that big basket in the second half during that 12-minute lull. We saw Santee and Masamba combine for more personal fouls than total points and rebounds combined. It was 7-4. You need a lot more from your centers, and that was a frustrating point going into this game. They haven't been producing, and Lou Hill's been scratching his head. He's the assistant coach who tutors the low post guys, and you know, he wanted them to play nastier today, and they weren't. They were both Casper.
Yeah.
Disappearance.
But UNLV just keeps winning. They just keep winning with the smaller lineup. However, they're doing what they do game in and game out. They're consistent, winning games. They head into the 2009 portion of the schedule 4-0 on the road, and that's a big number.
Yeah,
especially when you consider that 2 of those road games came on the heels of those two home losses, and then a road game at your in-state rival in Reno. A road game against a ranked opponent in front of almost 20,000 fans on national TV.
Without your leader.
Without your best player.
Your high scorer, sure. It was quite an impression, you know. It was a heck of a way to end the year. I think a lot of people will forget the Cal and Cincy losses. You know, Arizona and Louisville definitely make up for it. Whether they're ranked Monday or not, I know there's probably a lot of talk, and fans like to talk about that. But that's the beauty of college basketball. The hell with rankings,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
The beauty of college basketball is they play it off at the end of the season. So who cares whether you are or aren't? It's almost better that you aren't because it keeps you humble and it keeps you hungry.
And you know what? Instead of looking at this win as something that could get the team ranked, look at it as something that, you know, 2 months from now, when the committees are starting to talk. This could, you know, this could be the game that is the difference between, say, a 5 or 6 seed compared to a 8 or 9 seed, or something like that. I mean, of course, we don't know how the rest of the season's going to play out. We don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, if UNLV does find itself in a situation where maybe it's grasping for an at-large bid, you know, this could come up being pretty big.
Absolutely, yeah. They're going to highlight this,
yeah,
no doubt. And
I mean, that resume is already looking pretty healthy.
Sure is, especially if Cal keeps winning.
And since he keeps winning.
Right. So
they really don't have a bad loss on the docket right now.
Yeah, and I think UNLV fans need to just think about, the average UNLV fan, just think about what they were thinking about their team 3-4 weeks ago and what they're thinking about it right now as they ring in the new year. There's a lot to be hopeful and positive about, and this was done without Wink. That is not minor, and Wink is going to be so much healthier come Saturday night. You know, it's a good thing it's a Saturday night game, too, not just, you know, Saturday afternoon or something. So he gets that much more time just to get comfortable and get healthy and get back in the flow of things.
He will be good to go, Lon Kruger said, for Saturday. And like we said, it's more important to have him for the long run. And the win today almost looks like kind of a bonus. Because, you know, Rene Rougeau made the comment, you know, a lot of people weren't expecting us to win this game, and probably half of our own fans weren't. So it almost comes as a nice bonus.
Before an ESPN2 audience, too, you know, I think the nation got a little tutorial about UNLV basketball tonight that I think a lot of people haven't seen for various reasons. You know, the games start late; they're tough to find. This, that, the other. Well, here's your splash.
And the other thing you got to think regarding ESPN2. Remember who is a. Who was calling this game tonight was Jay Billis, who's, you know, among the national commentators, a very good basketball mind type of guy. And this is a guy who, starting in about 3 weeks on College Game Day every Saturday, you know, is on TV talking about hoops.
Yep.
He's on TV all week talking about hoops on ESPN. And if you don't think this is going to stick with him, and he could wind up talking about UNLV as a sleeper on ESPN, maybe getting the name out there a little more down the road. That's
absolutely
something that's maybe a little undersold.
Absolutely, yeah. So you're going to be hearing the UNLV name more frequently on ESPN.
I remember last year he talked a lot late in the season about Xavier, and he was kind of talking about him before a lot of people were because he'd seen him earlier in the year. He'd covered some of those games, and you know that'll stick.
Yeah, and you know Jimmy Dykes is also a big proponent of the Mountain West Conference. In general, so you know, in particular, this score will get his attention, and so yeah, that every little bit helps. And I think the biggest thing, I don't think fans need to worry or even think or examine rankings too much, but let's look at the RPI in the next few days and see what the tale of that says. You know, conference RPI, the conference is looking very strong, and let's just see where UNLV winds up there, maybe early next week on the RPI.
Well, speaking of going into the new year, let's wrap up the show with some resolutions. How about let's each give our New Year's resolution? And I know we talked about how a lot of people think it's superstitious. You don't want to say it, but come on, who are we kidding? We're not going to stick to them anyway.
I'm not kidding.
I never stick to mine. So, and we'll give a resolution for UNLV for the new year. You want to get us started?
A resolution.
Let's start with UNLV's resolution for the new year.
Wow. This is good. This is right off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
You go.
Okay, I'm gonna say the resolution. I'm going to go individually for Trevon Willis. You know, he talked about finding his identity within this team, and he's starting to. And, you know, he said whether he's starting or coming off the bench, being aggressive, being a playmaker, and you've seen it in their two biggest non-conference games against Arizona and against he had 19 against Arizona, 16 against Louisville. That's a guy who just needs to keep doing what he's doing. He's found his role. It took roughly 10, 12 games to really find it. I think he's got to stick with it, and that's going to be very big for this team the rest of the way to have a stable offensive force off the bench like that.
You know, they've really got a scary three-guard tandem going right now with Oscar, with Trey, and with Wink. Wink missing this one, and Oscar and Trey showing big time. I think that's just going to bode so well for this team. I'm kind of going to make a bastard prediction off of what you said and just say that this three-guard lineup meshed in with Rougeau is going to be the absolute heart and soul of this team and really going to fuel them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about some personal?
I swear I vow I'm going to get my butt down on defense and be a better defender in 09. I'm not going to let people get by me to the left and right. And if they end up catching an elbow, they catch an elbow.
Okay. As Wink Adams says, promise to get in the gym and get up more shots. Because I'm just too inconsistent come game time. I need to get up more shots this year.
You know who you shoot like?
Who?
Diana Taurasi.
Wow. You said that yesterday, and it stung the first time. And you know it stings even more the second time, you bastard.
It's just... May all the acquaintance
be... Hey, you know what? You know what? Diana Taurasi is paid to play basketball.
Bing, bang, boom. That's what I meant.
Of course it's what you meant. Wow, that hurts. Any final comments before we get out of here and head back to Vegas for the new year?
See you next year.
See you next year. And that means Saturday against New Mexico. UNLV will play New Mexico. There will not be a post-game Rebel Room following Saturday's game. However, we will be coming to you early next week from the friendly confines of our studio at the Las Vegas Sun. So we'll be talking to you early next week.
And if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it by now, but there is an incredible, awesome picture on our main UNLV story from this
game.
You look at that picture and you think, how did Oscar get that shot? And how did he launch it? Samardo Samuels is the hand in the face and the shot. You just wonder, how did that happen? I can't wait to see the replays to see that did happen.
Looks like it's about to get thrown 10 rows up.
Oh my God, yeah. Incredible. So we've got a great package, so enjoy.
Well, we will talk to you in the new year. For Rob Python Mish, this is Ryan Green.